Shabbat. I was going to say Shabbat Shalom again. Shalom, everybody. Okay, this is Pastor Sandy, and welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible College. We are past book one and book two, so you're almost geniuses now. But now we're into the most important part of our studies, and that is learning biblical gematria. We'll talk about that at some other time, but the book and number and the word number in Hebrew are basically the same in Hebrew. So rather you say written or you say numbers, it has the same pronunciation in Hebrew. So we'll look at that next week, because this week what I want you to look at, or what is the study for today, it is the marriage of two languages, okay? Because I've heard people online going, oh, you don't want to have a Greek mindset, you want to have a Hebrew mindset. Because the Greek mindset, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Because once you actually study Hebrew and then you study it against Greek, you will understand that it was God who chose that the New Testament would be in Greek in order to signature his word, and I mean put his DNA inside of the Greek, so that you can see that all the Hebrew is woven inside of the Greek to make sure that you know the person who wrote the Hebrew Old Testament Tanakh or the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, rather it's in Greek or in Hebrew, you can see that you have one author, okay? And this is very important for God because it signatures his work, okay? And you have two languages, alphanumeric languages. I don't know if rather there is another language other than Greek and Hebrew that all the letters are actually numbers, and all the numbers are actually letters, okay? So God wants to show you, okay, I'm going to numerically with letters and numbers write this scripture. Then I'm going to numerically with letters and number marry the both of them together, and then you'll be able to see that both books are mine. And you have to know that both books are his, because when we get to it, one, we're going to study the book of Isaiah, which has 66 books, which of course the Bible has 66 books. But that's not the important part. The important part is every book is lined up with every book of the Bible. So when you get to the 40th book, you're going to be reading as if you're reading Matthew. You know, so it's like it's just incredible what God has done with his word. Today, we are going to be studying Yeshua, okay? Yeshua, Yahweh, and the multiples of 10 of Hebrew and Greek. So this is a very important, like I said, we're going to get back to, I want you guys to know this before I pray us in. We're going to get back to learning conversational Hebrew. I gave you 28 conversations, and I gave you a booklet that I think one person has completely finished the booklet, okay? And I would love for more people to actually finish the booklet on your own and not wait for me to teach on each one of those subjects, because it's important to learn to speak, read, and write Hebrew, because it teaches you how the language is written, so that when you're reading it, you'll know exactly what they meant, okay? Very important. But it is very important that if you don't learn the Bible, you can learn Hebrew and be fluent in Hebrew and have no idea what the Bible's talking about. There are people in Israel that do that right now, right? They read, write, and everything Hebrew, but they have absolutely zero understanding. That's why we're called Rishon Messianic Bible College, because we're the first Bible college to actually teach you the Messianic doctrine through the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, to show you God's link of scripture so that we can better understand. Understand this, God when I suggested to the Lord that I needed to go back to school if I was going to be a pastor, I needed to go back into ministry school and go. And it was God who said, no. What you need to do is learn Hebrew. Once you learn Hebrew, God says, I will teach you the Bible. Okay? So that's how I've learned the scriptures, by diving into the Hebrew language, learning the culture, learning the numerical values, learning the letters, what the letters mean. I mean, I was so deep into learning Hebrew that I don't know, I think I was really getting on my wife's nerves because she hated when I started talking Hebrew around the house. But I just wanted to learn because I knew everything was contingent on me learning this language so that I could properly teach the Bible, which I didn't want to be a bad Bible teacher. I knew I didn't want to be a pastor crook, but I didn't want to be a bad Bible teacher. You know, I wasn't going to be one of those pastors that's trying to take advantage of people, but I didn't want to also be a bad Bible teacher. I wanted to be very accurate, or as accurate as I possibly can be, with the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of His language. Okay. Saying all that, let's pray before I talk too much. To say too late. Welcome, everybody. And here we go. We're going to open up today with the Lord's Prayer. And if you can bow your heads and pray with me wherever you are, here we go. Avanu shaba shabaim yi kadeshim ha. Tavo mehuteke yi aserot sanaka. Be aret ke asher ne asabe shamaim. Ten lanu hayom lechumukenu. Usilag lanu et ashmitenu. Ke asher solechim anachnu le asher ashmilanu. Vial tevienu le demasa. Keim hasilanu min hara, kilacha hamamlacha vega hagivura vehatif eret leolame leolamim. Amen. All right. So now, I just ask the Lord that He open your minds and your heart to understand this word that I'm going to give you today, so that you can have a understanding of the greatness of the God that you serve. Okay. First thing we're going to study here today is a passage, okay? And it says here, it says, as for God, I'm reading from Psalms 18:30. Psalms 18:30 says this: as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Okay? He is a buckler to all those who trust in Him. So now I'm going to read it to you again. As for the Lord, as for God, His ways, His derakim, the way, His way of living is perfect. Okay? If you come into His understanding and walk in His way, it's perfect. And it says, the words of the Lord are tried, which is the Hebrew word that is used there for tried means it has been tested, tried, and proven to be correct, accurate, and truth. Okay? So He's saying the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Okay? Now remember, the word of the Lord is also a person.
Right.
Okay? The word of the Lord, or the, because it doesn't say the words of the Lord. The word of the Lord is tested, tried, and proven. Okay?
Right.
It says He is a buckler. Who? The word of the Lord. Okay? He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. Who? The word. You can trust the word because the word is tried, true, and the word, and as for God, His ways are perfect. Okay? So I don't want you to separate God from His word, because God's word is Him. Okay? God's word manifested himself in the flesh, right? And so we're going to go to John chapter 1.
St. John.
I love you guys. I just want you to know that, because this is my privilege and my pleasure to be able to teach the word of God the way it should be taught. And I'm not just saying that as being bragged, but I'm saying it is because God said, I'm going to teach you, okay? And then, but I'm only going to teach you if you learn Hebrew. Because if you don't learn Hebrew, you're not going to learn the word, okay? So his contingency was, you've got to learn my language in order to understand me, okay? So there must be a lot in this word, okay? Now, let me read this. This is scripture teaches. John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to start there, okay? But I'm going to read this. Let's see. It says, scripture teaches that the name of the Lord is the only name. Okay. Scripture teaches that the name of Jesus is the only name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, okay? Okay. So we have the identity that Jesus is the only name that you can be saved by. Okay. I remember I taught on the Tim Tebow thing. Tim Tebow had 316 written on his eyes before the game. You know, you put the little black thing under here, and he had. He had John 3:16 written on his eyes, and they won the national championship. And after the national championship, his coach told him, "Hey, I wanted to tell you something." He says, "You threw for 316 yards. You know, I mean, not on this particular day, but after he won the national championship, when he played in the pros, he played a playoff game, and that playoff game happened to be the exact anniversary of the day that he won the national championship with 316 under his eyes, right? So the guy says, today we won the game, and you threw for 316 yards. You know what I mean? So the scripture, and then he said, and you rushed for 3.16 yards and all of this. And everything in that, in his equation for that day, equaled out the 316. Only one thing: to win the game, the Steelers kicked off to them, and it went in the end zone, so they placed the ball on the 20-yard line. How long is a football field? 80 yards, right? I mean 100 yards. So now you need 80 yards to win the game. He throws a strike hitting number 88 for 80 yards, and they score the touchdown, and that 88 yards made his total amount be 316 yards for the day. So he missed the part because he didn't know Hebrew, that Jesus' name was in Greek is 888. Had he known that, he would have said, not only did I win it with 316 yards for John 3:16, Jesus signified it by saying, and you threw to number 88 for 80 yards. Let's take off the zero. It has no 888. So he signified who did it for him. Okay.
Amen.
This is just God active. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Pastor Sandy. Sherry said, before you dismiss, you want to see you in that black hat you got sitting over there.
Oh, maybe. I will. That used to be my hat. This used to be my hat when I used to wear it when I went to the synagogue, when I was going to a synagogue. The Koopa didn't look good on my head, because I'm bald and it wouldn't stay anyway. So they said, well, you can wear the hat. And a lot of the gentlemen there had these hats on. And they would pray like this, as long as their head was covered, you know?
You look like Kojak.
Yeah. So that was my synagogue hat, so that I could pray without wearing the little Cooper thing on my head. So you saw it. Okay. So now I want us to read the Word became flesh, John chapter 1. Okay. In John chapter 1, it says this, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? Now, in the King James, it reads like this, because now in the NIV, it might read like this, okay? Then it says, he was with God in the beginning, okay? That's how it would read in the NIV, which I don't like that translation. I like the King James in this situation, because at verse 2, it says, the same. Who is the same? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it says, the same, who is the same? That same Word, okay, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Okay, so from John chapter 1, verse 2, to John chapter 2 through verse 5, gives you a numerical gematria in Greek. Okay? I'm coming over, Pastor Ben. Let's look at the numerical gematria in Greek. Are you going to be able to see this, or do I need to erase some of this before we go? Okay. The numerical gematria in Greek is 23088 for, that's John 1, verse 2 through 5, which contains 162 letters. And those 162 letters equals that in numerical gematria. Okay? Now, can they see that? Because I'll erase this okay. 23,088 is the numerical gematria for 162 letters in 1 John 2 through 5. Okay? Now.
Beautiful.
This number is, okay, let's look at this. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to erase some of this. I'm going to erase some of this, no, because I want to do something here, and I'll put that back. Okay, now, here we go. So, what is Jesus' name in Greek? 888. What is Yahweh's name numerically in Hebrew? Ten, five, six, five, so it's 26. 26 times 888 is 23088. You see that? Okay, so John chapter 1, verse 2 through 5 equals, is the equal numerical gematria of Jesus times Yahweh. Okay? So now you know that Jesus times Yahweh is the numerical value. So they're letting you know this word is God. Okay? They're letting you know these verses are God. Now, there is 162 letters. Okay? And here's the Hebrew word for 162 is, I'm going to write it in is Kol Yahweh, which means Kol Yahweh means, in Hebrew, has a numerical value of 162. What does Kol Yahweh mean? The voice of God. Okay. So now, the word of God is God. The Hebrew also tells us that the 162, these 162 letters tell us that this is, that word is what? The voice of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. And God said, what did he say? The voice of God spoke and said, let there be light. Who is the voice of God? The 162 letters here that say what? This is the voice of God, and he's the one that made everything, and everything was made by him. So I'm trying to teach you how to study the scriptures in Hebrew so that when people, see, if a Jehovah Witness come, I go, can I sit down and show you something if you have the time? Because they were able to be lied to because they don't understand scripture. Okay? Now, watch this. This is what it says. It says, the same was with God in the beginning. Who? Who was the same with God? The Word. The same was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light that shines in darkness, but the darkness did not understand it or comprehend it. Okay? So, why did God do it this way? Okay? Because the only way that this numerical value for these 1, 2, 3, 4 verses, right? The only way that these four verses equal this in Greek is to say, okay, let's time this numerical value, which is this, let's times it time a Hebrew Yahweh times a Greek Jesus. And we will come up with this very numerical value of that verse to tell you that they're the same. Okay? This is what we're trying to teach you in Rishon Messianic Bible College. Someone say, well, can you manipulate the numbers? No. That's one thing. You can manipulate words. But numbers don't lie. That is, I don't know who made that quote, but thank God, because it should be in the Bible. Numbers don't lie, okay? 1 + 1 = 2, and you can lie to a kid and tell them all day, no, it's 12. And they're going to go, you lying, because you'll never be able to change 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, so numbers are God's way of saying this is truth. It can't be changed. Okay, that's why it's very important that when the scribes write the Hebrew, that every letter and every word is counted for. They count every letter, then they count every word, then they count all. So they count it to make sure that it's perfect. Then it can become a scroll, and then they can set, they can put it on the market. But until they count it, they don't use it. If it's one letter missing, they burn it because it's God's word. And that's how much respect they have for it. Okay. Now, we want to go back to the book of Samuel, which means we're going to be in 1 Samuel, and we're going to be in chapter 17. Okay. I'm going to have to decide on that in a minute, but you guys hang in there because I'm going to erase this. Okay. So I'm erasing this. This is on your final test. So if you can go back and look at it, that's on your final test. That's God showing you who he is. All right. Now we want to look at something else. Okay. What are we going to look at now? We're going to look at a serious passage. And this is an incredible, I've heard this preached many times by many different pastors, and until I learned Hebrew, before I learned Hebrew, I wasn't mad at any of them for the way they preached it, because this passage in Samuel 17 was all about God conquering the giants in your life. See, Pastor Ben laughs now because we've been studying together. And this is what God didn't want me to do, because manipulation of scriptures to turn into psychological messages to manipulate people to feel better and to give is a, I went to maybe two white churches in my life where the majority of the congregation was white, but in black churches, the manipulation of scripture is rampant. Okay, there's teaching is something out of the box. Mm-hmm. It's all about finding a passage, coming up with a catchphrase, mm-hmm. and then making it palatable. I don't even know how to say the word tasty to the audience. Okay, so making it something that they will accept and make them feel better about themselves. Mm-hmm. And then when you ask for the offering, now they feel really good about themselves, because I've just told them that if you trust God and you trust him with your finances and you trust him with all that you have. So see, some of you don't even trust God with your finances. But if you just trust God, he can destroy those big bills that you have. Because they're like giants in your life. Yeah. But he can take those bills and he can just make them go away, because God is showing through David that he can take a small thing and destroy a big thing. And I would be sitting there going, oh, this guy can really preach. Then I learned Hebrew and I went, what a crook.
Barb wants to know, she said, don't the Masons manipulate numbers?
Yes. Satan plays with numbers. What do you think Skull and Bones is? 3:22. Read Genesis 3:22. Man has become just like us. Who did that? That is Satan's boast. Skull and Bones is a boast that they are the ones who made man become just like us, knowing both good and evil.
I never put that together.
That is Skull and Bones. Okay, what is 9/11? Revelation 9/11. They had a god over them which was called Apollyon, or 9/11. Okay, so they're saying this is our god, 9/11. So 9/11 is their number. Okay, so we have to understand that Satan is manipulating scripture, using scripture and using God's numerical structure to give signs to each other. Okay, because remember, Satan never, he's not a creator.
Right.
Okay, even one of the guys that was dealing with the Nephilim said, if they're so good in creating technology, what do they need us? He said, we teach them the basics. They teach them how to do it. Now they can take someone else's knowledge and then manipulate it. Okay? So Satan is not a creator. He only takes what's already created and he's able to manipulate it. Okay? So, yes, he does play numbers. He does play number games. Okay? I mean, Aleister Crowley had a book called 777. You think he got that from, where do you think he gets 777 from? It definitely ain't from him. That's El Shaddai. Wow. That's three sevens. That's El Shaddai. But Satan takes numbers and he manipulates them. And then you would think, oh, well.
That's crazy.
Okay. So definitely. Definitely he does that. So I want to read this. And I want us to understand this from a Hebrew perspective. And you probably already know this scripture. But I want to read it to you. In both King James and then also in the American English Standard, okay? Okay. We're reading 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1.
1 Samuel 17, 1.
Okay. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Succoth and Azekah." And it says, "Saul the Israelite assembled and camped at the Valley of Eli and drew up the battle lines to meet the Philistines." So the Israelites about to go to war with the Philistines. "The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them." What is the Valley of Eli called today? Megiddo. Armageddon. Okay, this is the same. This is the same valley, okay? All right. So we're seeing this battle that's about to take place where? In Megiddo. It was called at this time the Valley of Eli, right? In the book of Hosea. It's called something else, okay? It's called Jezreel or something like that, right? So the names of things keep changing. Like everybody knows in L.A., Santa Barbara is now called Martin Luther King Boulevard. But if you grew up early enough, you know it's really Santa Barbara, right? So it's the changing of the name, but it's still the very same place, okay? So they're here at the Valley of Eli. It says the Philistines occupied the hill, and the Israelites... another with the valley between them. So now a battle is getting ready to take place. What battle is going to take place in Megiddo, in that valley? The last battle of all time. Who will be ruling the world at that time? Satan. What is his numerical value?
666.
666. Okay, so now we know this is a battle between Israel...
The giant and David and the
666 giant. Okay? This is a battle between Israel. No, David hasn't gotten involved yet. Remember, Israel is, they have to talk David into going out. Or David has to talk them into letting him go out, okay? It's just going to be between Israel and the 666 giant. Okay? Now, if Israel tries to fight this giant by themselves, they would lose. This is what the scripture is talking about. This has nothing to do with the giants in your life. This is talking about, because Jesus Christ said what? The volume of the scriptures is about me, okay? Not about you. This is not about you conquering the giants. I've got plenty of scriptures to tell you how to conquer him. Okay, I've overcome the world. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That's all you need to know to conquer the giants, okay? All right, so, but he's telling you this to give you a prophecy about a future thing that's going to happen, okay? Now, so there, you got Israel on one side of the valley, and you got the Philistines on the other side of the valley, okay? And it says, a champion named Goliath, forgive me for not looking up what Goliath means, but I need to find out what does Goliath mean in Hebrew, okay? He says, who was from Gath? He says, came out of the Philistine camp.
Now, in English, it says he was over 9 feet tall. Okay? He had a bronze helmet. That's one piece of armor. And on his head, he wore a coat of scales. That's two pieces of armor. Weighing 5,000 shekels. And on his legs, he wore bronze sheaths. That's three pieces of armor. And then he had a bronze javelin. That's four pieces of armor. His spear shaft, he has a spear shaft, that's five pieces of armor, was like a weaver's rod, and his iron point weighed 600 shekels. And his shield bearer went ahead of him. So he had a shield bearer. So therefore, now he has six pieces of armor, okay? He has six pieces of armor, and we have missed something because in the Hebrew, it never says he was 9 feet tall. Okay? In the Hebrew, in the same verse, okay, verse 4, it says, the champion went out from the camp of Israel, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits. See that? So he's 6 cubits tall, okay? Now, so he's 6 cubits tall, he has six pieces of armor, and the spear shaft weighs 600 pounds. That's 666. So God is telling you he's not 9 feet tall. That is of no significance to God because God is doing numbers. This has to be a numerical value of three sixes, okay? So now, he is the 666 giant meeting on the other side of the hill with Israel on the other side, and he wants to destroy the Israelites, okay?
I have an answer for you, Pastor Stanley.
Yes.
T.L. Duncan
mm-hmm.
and Dennis Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
Watkins said that this is the meaning of the giant, either uncovered or revealed.
Uncovered or revealed. Okay.
T.L. Duncan, same thing. The giant's name means, Goliath means to uncover or reveal.
Okay, so he will be revealed. Yes. Okay. They will know. I don't say we will know because we won't be there. We'll be like in heaven, like, it's not time to go back yet. Just enjoy your honeymoon. Okay, when the war is about to happen, he's going to say, okay, gather together. We've got to go rescue Israel. And like Moses, he'll take his bride and we'll go back. And then the rescue will begin. Understand? Scripture is so balanced. Okay, now. Okay, so here we are. This 6'6 giant wants to destroy Israel. And it says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. Lou, I like the tone of your words. Okay? Because the man they choose is coming down. Okay, so you said you should have just said let him come over, but you said let him come down. He will come down. Okay, and have him come down to me, and if he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. Or it says, on hearing this, the Philistines' word, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Because they knew. We don't have nobody that could fight homie, as they would say in my neighborhood, right? We got nobody fight homie, man. Let's just give up the neighborhood, right? But the story continues. Now, David was the son of Ephatite. Named Jesse. He was the son of the Ephatite named Jesse. Now, listen. David was the eighth son. Okay? Remember they brought all these people to Saul? They brought all these people out to South. It's like, no, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. Do you have any more? Well, I have an 8th son, but he's just a little ruddy dude out there in the field. I'll go get him if you want.
Right.
So the 8th son comes and he goes, the Lord says, that's the one.
Yeah.
Okay? Because Jesus is a new beginning.
Yes.
And now this Jesus, this David is representing Yeshua. Okay?
Amen.
So now he says this. It says here, Jesse had 3 older sons, and we don't want to go through that. We just talked about that. Go down to verse 17. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephod of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brother and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit, see how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israelite in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Okay, so listen. Okay, Joy, this says, what's that scripture? Something lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Weeping endures
for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Watch what time that David, this number 8, shows up. It says, early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse directed, and he reached the camp as the army was going out to battle positions, shouting war cries. Now, Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their line facing each other, and David left his things to the keeper and ran to battle line to greet his brothers, okay? As he was talking with them, Goliath, the champion, stepped out from the line and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how the man keeps coming out? He comes out and defies Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage, okay? Now, and exempt him from his taxes, all of this. So, let's continue to read here. Let's see. Now, I don't want to read all of this, but I do. This is the part I want to read. Oh, my goodness, I found it.
Okay.
Okay. We got a question? Are we good? Okay. So, we go down to verse 34, right? Because Saul is trying to convince David, you're too little. You can't fight this big guy, okay? Verse 34. Now David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping the father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from his mouth. So he says, when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God.
Yes.
Oh my God. Now, if you go to the book of Hosea, and I want you to study this, there is a scripture that says that he rested his hand on the, he said,
is that my
king? Yeah, that's yours. So it says he defeated a bear. He said the Messiah would defeat a bear. And then Israel would defeat a bear, and then they will defeat a lion, and then they will defeat a bear. And then it says they will rest then and lean their hand on the wall to relax.
Oh, yeah.
And a snake will bite them, which is the 666, right? Which is the serpent, right? So after they defeat the lion and the bear, it says Israel is going to relax and put their hand on the raw wall to relax, but a snake's going to bite them. Who does the lion represent? Who controlled Israel, but God had to fight the battle to get them from under that? Britain.
Right.
Britain was the lion that had already been defeated. Then who was the bear? Russia is the next attack against Israel after the church leaves. So that's the bear. So Jesus is going to, has conquered already the lion. When Russia comes, he's going to conquer them, the bear. And then they're going to relax and start trusting who?
666.
The 666 serpent. And that serpent, when he puts his hand on the wall, is going to bite. And they're going to go, oh my, now I've got to defeat this one last enemy,
right,
which is the snake.
Wow.
Okay? Now, see, I love when the Lord starts teaching you the Bible, he shows you, this is what I meant, you know? And you go, wow, okay, Lord. Okay, now, let's look at this. Okay, I read that. Oh, I wanted to read 16 because it says, for 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and every evening and took his stand. So that 40 days represents the 40 Jubilees. Okay, so he comes out early in the morning after the 40th Jubilee, okay, which we just finished the 40th Jubilee since Jesus left. Okay, so we have, so when Jesus, from the time of Jesus to the time of 2017 was 40 times 50, which is 40 Jubilees. So after the 40 Jubilees, he comes out early in the morning and he's coming out what? To do what? To let's see how my people are doing and listen to this giant talk like he can really whip me. Not understanding, I've already whooped a bear and a lion. So this 666 giant is in trouble, but he doesn't know it. Okay, so now here we go. As we're reading the story, we go to verse 38. Okay, and then it says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and put on a coat of armor on him, a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened on the sword over the tunic and walking around because he was not used to them. So David says, I cannot go with these. And then he said, I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in hand and chose five smooth stones. So now, here we are, and David picks up five rocks. Now, there's two reasons why he picked up five rocks. One, because Goliath had four brothers, and he felt, well, after I jack him up, if the four come out, I'll jack them up too, okay? So he picks up five stones. Now, let me tell you why God's reason for picking out the stone, the four rocks, okay? So now, we get to the scripture here, and we say, Zor, okay, and then we'll say, what, 90, okay, and we'll say this is 6, and this is 200, okay. So now this Zor or this rock is a numerical value of 296. Is God a Trinity or not? This times 3, and we come up with the numerical value of 888, which is who? Jesus Christ. Okay. So 3 times the rock is Jesus. Let's look at the numerical value if he picked up 5 rocks. Would be 1480. What's 1480? Christ. 1480. So who's going to defeat the giant?
Christ.
Not just Christ. Jesus Christ. You understand? 888-1480 is Yeshua HaMashiach. That's who's going to defeat the giant, okay? Because look, watch the Greek, watch the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, Passover is a numerical value of 148. But in Greek,
You have to, if you want to really see what the Passover is, it's the Messiah. Christ is our Passover. Okay? So that would be times 10. Now you can clearly see us. Perfect vision. 10 is order of perfection. Here's the perfection of the Passover is Christ. 148, which also equals five rocks. That's going to destroy the giant. So I'm studying something that's telling me that the only person that could possibly destroy the 6'6 giant is who? Jesus Christ. Now, did David destroy the giant or did the rock destroy the giant? The rock. David threw it with the power of God and it hit him in the head. And he told Satan that the Messiah is going to crush your head. He's going to bruise your head. And so David goes and cuts his head off because that's what the Messiah is going to do to the serpent. He's going to cut off his head. Okay? So now I say this because something I'm going to be speaking on Sunday, the whole buildup, and I love Trump, but he's not the Savior. He's not going to save you from the 666 giant. But there's a battle going on right now over what? Nationalism versus globalism.
Yeah.
Okay? Nationalism versus globalism. Oh, but Trump is on our side and he's going to do this and we're going to win and we're going to show this Hillary Clinton and all these and Barack Obama and all them. They're going to be in prison and then the world's going to have peace and then finally we're going to be free from this bondage of the bankers and la 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 blah. And the Bible's going, that's what the Bible's doing. It's going, that's not God's plan.
That's not the plan.
So your hope can't be in the fact that Trump is going to overcome the 666 giant. It's a false hope.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful hope. I love it. I'm watching it happen. And what it's done is slowed down the process of the giant until God removes his church. That's all Trump is.
Yeah.
He's slowing down the process of the giant until God removes the church. Once God removes the church, then that 666 giant is going to become a real beast throughout the whole world, okay? So your hope is in who? The 888 and the 1480. That's your hope. Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the hope of the destruction of the 666 giant, okay?
That he's going to bruise his head. He's just
going to
hurt him.
The bruise, look up the word bruise in Hebrew, and it means to utterly crush, meaning that he's going to destroy. And then you look up the other bruise for the ankle, for what Satan is going to do to Christ, and it's like a bruise, meaning he's going to cause him harm. But the bruise that's used for Yeshua, what he's going to do to Satan is completely crushing. So, this is the end of this Bible study, okay? We'll get back to some conversational Hebrew and another Bible study next week, but I want you to start linking numbers in scriptures, okay? Because once you start linking the numbers in the scriptures, you're going to understand that someone wrote a book that is predated before any of the events happen. And he wrote a book that's so intricately detailed in numerical values that it would be very hard for anybody to figure it out. Let's look at this one more time, okay? Do we have time, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I'm going to erase this. I'm going to erase this. Okay. This is it. Watch this. Okay. This is dove. This is living water. Okay, and this is eternal God. Okay, now watch this. In Hebrew, the word Pesach is 148 in numerical value in the Hebrew. That's Passover. But in the Greek, the numerical value of 10 times 148 is Christ, or Mashiach,
is 1480. So the Christ is 10 times what the Passover is, giving you a perfect view of what God was speaking of when he said the Passover. The Passover is the Messiah. Okay, Christ is our Passover. And we have a scripture, I think, in Corinthians that says that. The dove is, in the Hebrew, a numerical value of 71. But if you times this times 10, you're going to come up with the numerical value of 710. And it's going to be times 10. It's going to be 710, for the Holy Spirit in Greek is 71 in Hebrew. So I'm just timing it. Now, this, you can do this all day, okay? Because this is how the scriptures are written, okay? It's just multiplying to show you a clear picture of what God wants to show you. Then, one more thing. Here it is. I don't know. Just leave them there for a second. Okay, the living water. You see that? The living water is, in Hebrew, is 163. But the living water in Greek would be the fountain of life. Jesus says he is a fountain of life. And so all we do is we add a zero on that because it's times 10. Everything is just times 10 to give you the clear view. The living water is a fountain of life, which is Jesus Christ. Now, here we go. Eternal God in Hebrew is the numerical value for what is in Revelation. Who is, who was, and who is to come. Who? The eternal God is the same one times 10, 23-0 is who is, who was, and who is to come. When he's talking in Book of Revelation, who is that? He's the eternal God. Okay, Yeshua. So that is the numerical value of tens in Gematria. That will be on your test. So make sure you write that down and have your booklet. Okay, so let's pray out. Because we got people knocking at our door. Like, we don't have class. I want to thank you guys for joining us in class today. It is awesome to have people that really love the Word of God. Hallelujah. I am just looking. Oh, here we go. Here we go. All right. Glasses, please. So God bless you guys. I am so thankful for each and every one of you. This is a pleasure. Like I said, I prayed and asked God if I could be able to have a form where I could teach all of this stuff you put inside me to other people. And you are that blessing that God has sent. So thank you, guys. And here we go. Let's pray out. And God said to Moses, when you see my people, make sure that you say this to them. Okay. Say this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivrekeka Adonai v'yishmareka, Yair Adonai panavileka v'echuneka, Yaseh Adonai panavileka v'yasim lecha shalom. Shalom, everybody. L'itriyot b'shavua chaba. See you next week.